Thank you for leading us. Amen. You feel the presence of God? Amen. Amen. It's always good to be in the house. Amen. It's good to be with people. Hallelujah. Miss Kay Fries is going to be preaching today. John Helmuth was originally planned to preach, but he got COVID, and he was very, very sick. And the last two or three days, we prayed, and we believed, and he's actually been a lot better, a lot better. So he's feeling good this morning. So praise God for that. Amen. Amen. So when I found out he was sick, I reached out, and Miss Kay, if you come on Wednesdays, our discipleship night, it's also our family night where we have something for all ages and everybody, but it's where we get into the Word and we dig in, and Miss Kay Fries is one of our main teachers on a rotation every single month, and so she is an anointed preacher, anointed teacher, and she's also our prayer lead here at the church. She oversees all prayer in our church. If we have prayer meetings or prayer things, she's the go-to, she's the head, and she's been a blessing, and she loves Jesus. She's been in this church pretty much her whole life, which has been about 52 years. I got you. Amen. I stepped away from the pulpit when I said that. For some years, I'm not going to say the amount, but she's been in this house for a long time. She loves the Lord, and let me tell you, she serves Jesus, and she always has a word from God. So if you're ready to receive, will you give her a warm welcome? Amen. Come on, Miss Kay.
Well, I need to move the gift bike over here, and it's part of the sermon, so we're not giving it away. You know, I just have to tell you, one of the visions I always have when we're in worship, and I saw it vividly today, when we really get into the depths of worship, where I look up because I see Jesus. He's sitting on his throne, and when we worship, he stands up and he steps forward, and then he smiles and he puts his hands out like, welcome into my presence. He knows true worship. And every time we get into the depths of worship, that I have that vision. I saw it today, and he's so pleased with worship. I can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like, but if we're getting tastes of it down here, whoo, we don't want to miss it, do we? It's going to be marvelous. So, yes, I do teach on Wednesday night, and God continually amazes me, always. I mean, you just feel like you're going through life, but he prepares for every circumstance in your life, and you don't even know it. So I was getting ready for a Wednesday night when Deb thought she had COVID and Mark was going to go on quarantine, so I was getting my lesson ready early. A lot of times I have it ready early, but as I started getting ready, God changed it. He's going, no, that I was praying, and he, you know how you start seeing stuff and go, no, that's really good stuff. And it's not you. It's like, so I'm writing it down. Little did I know that Pastor John was going to get, but I was prepared. It was like I'm like, Jesus, I don't know why we worry. You never quit being nervous. Pastor texted and says, are you ready? And I said, yeah, I'm ready and nervous. He goes, good, you're in a good place then. So I guess you're supposed to be nervous. That's a good thing. So let me introduce myself first. My name's Kay Fries. I'm Pastor Gail's daughter, Sonny Fries's wife, Mrs. Fries, if you go to any schools I've taught at, and one of my favorites is Grammy Kay. But the best is just a lover of Jesus. He's everything to me, just a lover of Jesus. Sitting at his feet is the best place on earth to be, can I say. So you guys have been looking at the bike, and I know some of you online are probably going, shoot, they're raffling off a bike and we're not even there. And you're running around getting your clothes on. Maybe we can get there right at the end of the service and still get a chance at that bike. Well, let me just tell you, you might be able to make it on time, but don't hurry. It's actually my grandson's birthday this Thursday. The twins are having a birthday, and I'd already gotten the bike, and God had already built the sermon. Isn't God good? I mean, he's going, okay, if John Helmuth is going to get, I mean, he orchestrates our steps. John Helmuth's, she's going to need a bike. Let's make it be the twins' birthday. She'll have a bike on him. I mean, he orchestrates everything. Isn't it amazing? And so the only person I hope, that isn't watching this online is Luke. You better not be watching. I took Kate, the twin, his twin, she already has a bike, and so I took her shopping yesterday, and what she always will usually run. She's real teeny. She's turning 10, but she's tiny and she's lightweight. So, you know, Grammys, we pick them up and we love on them. So yesterday I learned something, and it's a bittersweet moment for Grammy. So I see her, I go pick her up, and I'm hugging her. She looks at me, she goes, Grammy, she says, I may be tiny, but I'm also 10. You can't be doing that anymore. What? Really? So my 10-year-old, tiny 10-year-old, we hug. We're always going to hug and cuddle, but picking her up in public is now 10-year-olds. I didn't know that that was a rule when you turn 10. I just didn't know. I'm learning. So I'm having an ouch moment. So all grandparents, when they turn 10, get ready. It's over. So, but all of you that are scurrying around home, getting your clothes on, trying to get here by the end of the service to get the bike, the bike is actually going to be used in the sermon today, so just relax, sit down, and enjoy the sermon. So, but first of all, thank you, Pastor, for your prayers, but I just want you to, I'm going to lift this up before the Lord because I want his anointing. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I put the words on paper. I've heard from you, I believe, but Father, without your anointing, they're just literally words on a paper. So, Lord, I just ask you to anoint these words with power and conviction. I believe, Father, that you are speaking to someone today. And so, Lord, anoint them and empower them to go forth and to be received in Jesus' name. Amen. So I changed the sermon around a little bit. And when Pastor first started, the first Sunday that he was doing it, it was on momentum. And I have been thinking ever since what God gave me at when I was sitting there listening to Pastor is, he spoke to my spirit. He says, momentum isn't just a fancy word. If you don't have momentum, you are not going to make it in the days that lie ahead. And so I literally went home and started digging out scripture and find, not just for our personal life, but for the church. If you don't have momentum, I'll speak to you about that. It's a serious, serious time. And there, the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away. Many will fall away. So if you are not gaining momentum for the times that lie ahead, many are going to fall away. And so I felt like God was saying, implore the people, implore myself to not slack off. This is not the time. Because you, and if it says the very elect can be deceived, I'm not the very elect, so I know I'll be deceived. I've got to be in the Word, and I've got to be in intimacy with Jesus Christ, or I'm not going to make it. So that's kind of where this is coming from. And as I've been preparing, I told my prayer partner on Friday, I said, I can't, as I'm getting it ready, I just keep crying. You know, I just feel like God's saying, you got to get him ready. You've just got to speak this word. And so I'm going to speak it. Momentum, and Pastor gave us earlier the definition, but it's what allows us to walk. It's the force that allows cars to move. It's the force that allows the earth to spin. And it's the force that carries power. You have to have momentum. If you're just sitting still, there's no movement. We take it up for granted. I mean, we don't, when you wake up in the morning, you're going, I sure hope I have momentum today. Man, this is a dangerous thing. You don't think about it. It's just something we do. But without momentum, nothing moves. Nothing. In fact, momentum is one of those things that defies gravity. It's there, but we don't think about it. When you build enough energy with momentum, it can literally propel stuff up a hill that can't go up a hill. You know, they're too heavy there. But if you get momentum, you can go up a hill as long as you keep moving. And the more downhill movement you get, that hill that's coming ahead is going to be a whole lot easier to get up because you don't have as much friction. So it's very important that we are sustained through momentum. And I brought this bicycle today because this is what God gave me. This bicycle. When I remember when the twins were learning to ride their bike, they were living at our house. and they brought their bikes over, and we have a little incline in the grass, so, you know, if they fall over, they're in the grass. We didn't want them. But they would get on the bike, and, you know, you're real wobbly, and they would get on, and they'd get going riding downhill. Well, as long as they were riding downhill, they didn't even have to pedal, so they're thinking, ooh, got this, I'm a good bike rider. But as soon as the bike started slowing down, and they had to start pedaling, they didn't quite have that down, and they would chip over. And I remember Luke saying, the first time he fell over, he gets up, he goes, I'm through. There's no bike riding in my life. Nope, done. Because he didn't like falling over. But you got to stick with it. You've got to keep moving. And now I'm glad to say he's getting a bike. He knows how to ride, so we're really glad. But so you get on the bike, and you got to get your balance centered. So you put your get over the seat, you put your feet on each side, and you get balanced. And you always have to keep one foot on the ground, because if you're not pedaling, if you put both feet up premature, the bike's going to fall over and you're going to fall with it. And so then you get it moving, you get the pedals going, and if you don't, you're going to fall over. So keep it going. That bike's going to fall over if you don't. And when you think about riding a bike, now let's think about this. You have to gain traction in order to keep going. And as long as you keep pedaling, you're in good shape. But the moment you decide to stop pedaling, eventually without any support on that bike, you're going to crash and burn. You're going to just go over. Momentum carries things. It propels things. It pushes things forward. And it supports things as well. Because when you're moving, you don't have to worry about supporting the bike. It's being supported by the momentum. The bicycle functions like this. I'm getting to something, so just in case. When you pedal, the momentum of that pedaling transfers energy to the bike chains. And the bike chains are turning. And those bike chains then transfer energy to the wheels. So the wheels are moving. And now you have the movement to keep moving forward. But everything has to work together. If the chain falls off, you can pedal all you want, you're not going to get anywhere. Flat tire. So all of it has to be in order, and you can move. Well, here's what God began to speak to me. That bicycle momentum is a whole lot like our spiritual momentum, a whole lot. When we talk about momentum, the first thing we need to understand when we started following Jesus, when you said yes to him, here's what you were saying. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. I wanted to dedicate my life to you. I want to give my everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. You have to give him it all. You can't just give him the good. You give him everything. And the momentum we made at the moment we made the decision to follow Jesus, we didn't create that momentum. We didn't do it. We didn't make it happen. You might think, well, I did that. Nope. We just inherited the momentum that Jesus Christ himself set in motion through Calvary. Because without Jesus, there is no salvation. Without Jesus, there is no walk with God. So Jesus set that momentum in motion. When you accepted him as Lord and Savior, he's saying, oh, I've got the momentum started. You just pick up and go, and he gives you the momentum to walk through your life. Isn't that cool that, you know, we're never walking alone? In fact, when you try to walk alone, you're going to probably lose your momentum. So we just allowed the momentum that was started for Jesus Christ, and, you know, it's amazing. I'm not walking in the momentum that he desires me to totally walk in. Maybe you are, but he gave us the momentum to create miracles. He gave us of creating miracles, of healing the sick, of bringing light into dark places, going out into the world and not being afraid to go down into the bad part of town. Not just, there's no fear. He gave us the power to share the gospel. How are we at sharing the gospel to everyone? Are we afraid at work because we may offend someone? And bringing hope and salvation to the world. I got to tell you, that's if we were fully pedaling at full power with Jesus, we would be doing all the things that he did on earth. But can I tell you good news? Just over the next few, right away, before Jesus comes back, we're going to walk. Some are going to fall away, but he's going to empower us in ways that we cannot even imagine. So those things that I just told you, going, oh, I've never raised the dead. I forgot to raise the dead's on there. I haven't done that yet. But he's going to have a church that walks in the fullness of his power. How many of you want to be part of that? Man, I want that. I got to tell you. But where we are right now, and I believe COVID has played into it. If you have entered into fear, if you have entered into a lack of confidence in Jesus Christ, your momentum is slowed down. He's going to use a church that is pedaling in full power and saying, Jesus, keep me going. Give me that momentum, because you're going to fall over. You've got to have Jesus. So when you said yes to Jesus, he transferred his authority or his momentum to you. We have not used it to the fullness of the power that he meant intended. He's already started that before the earth began. And look at what he told his disciples in John 14:18. He said, I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus was getting ready to leave, and he knew they need to know that I'm going away, but they are not powerless. And in fact, by his going away, we got Energizer Bunny power. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and it was meant for us to carry his power and anointing, because he knew, man, they're going to really need it. So, and then it says in John 14:26, when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, yea, Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have told you. So the Holy Spirit is to remind you. There are times where, and you all know this too, where I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But if I've got the Word of God in me, he brings up, and I'm thinking, well, I remember the scripture. He gives you the truth to do that. So you see, when he left the earth, he didn't leave us alone. And in fact, he did it because he knew the best part of him was coming for where we live. He transferred momentum to us. He gave us the coolest bike ever. I don't know what the coolest bike is. It's probably one of those fatty wheels or whatever. I don't know. I'm just... when he left the earth, he said, I'm sending you power for us to carry. We're carrying it, whether you know it or not. If you know Jesus, you carry it. For us to sustain, sustaining it means using it. For to propel us forward. We are about to go in a dark, dark hour, but he's going to propel us forward into that hour, and we are not alone, ever, ever, ever. And for us to support. The world can't support this power. The world can't sustain this power. We are it. We are the sustainers of his power. So if his church isn't doing it, who's going to do it? It's not going to get done. And yet he says, a harvest is coming. Get ready, get ready. I hope that you're getting as excited as I was. I mean, it was motivating to me. So you start walking with the Lord. You're doing okay. And this is where I see a lot of people coming today. But what happens when we stop the momentum? You're kind of going, oh, you know, I love baby Christians. I love watching, because when they get in, they're like, yeah, let's do this. Let's get out. And they're telling everyone about the Lord. They don't care who sees them. They are not embarrassed. We become very dignified after a while, I'm sorry to say. But if I'm going to be with someone, I want to be with a newly saved Christian, because they're like, whoa, this is exciting. And it really makes me excited. But what happens when you stop that momentum? Suddenly stop pedaling, and you just stop moving forward. What happens? Slows down. And eventually, if you're not pedaling, it's not going to be sustained. You're going to fall over. You're going to crash and burn. When you think about car accidents, I don't know how many of you have been in a car accident, but some of them can be, you know, they're pretty atrocious, and I've seen people walk away from them like, oh, that's really bad. But, you know, in a car accident, it's where they're moving, going forward, and all of a sudden, pow, stops, and their vehicle is stopped. It can be devastating. It can make a mess when it comes to an end like that. It's interesting when you look at a car crash, if you've probably seen it on TV. you're probably sometimes saying, how could something like that come out of this scene? It can look disastrous. And sometimes the cars, even if you're going slowly and you're obeying all the laws, but you crunch, or you know, you're not, there's still gonna be a little bit of damage in your vehicle. However fast that car was moving determines how it's going to do damage to your car. So when momentum comes to a halt, that's when we run the risk of collision or of accident or of some sort of destruction. And so church, I'm telling you today, for your personal life and for the church, we cannot lose our momentum. I believe coronavirus was straight from the pits of hell. Satan was laughing, ha ha, the church closed its doors, they're all alone. God never intended us to be isolated from one another. I hated it. The first 2 weeks I was like, okay, well, we better obey. But then after that I'm going, I want to be back in church. I need my peeps. I don't like being alone. And I think that Satan just is like, ha. He wasn't about, he's okay with stopping the world, but there he is. But when he stopped the church and we weren't worshiping together, that was devastating for some people, because you couldn't call on someone to lay hands upon you. And even now it's holding back because you don't do altar time because COVID, and I obey the laws. We obey the laws of the land, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the enemy having the upper hand because our momentum was stopped. But can I tell you, whatever the enemy meant for evil, we're going to turn it around for good. We're going to see the lost saved. We're going to see these altars filled with people coming for salvation, because Satan, you set yourself up for a great victory from the church, because God's mad about that. You tried to stop my people. Just wait till you see what happens. This is exciting, isn't it? It's like, woo, I want it. So I'm crying as I'm putting this down, going, yes, yes, Lord, you're just amazing. Our lives become useless for the kingdom of God if we're not in the Word of God, if we're not intimate with God. They are useless. Now, you can come to church all you want. You can be in the presence, because the presence is awesome. I think anyone that comes to presence, I always pray if someone's lost, if they could just come in the church doors and they encounter his presence. They may not know what it is, but it's really good. They're going, what is that? You know? So God's presence is powerful and it's wonderful. But if you walk in his presence today, as we are older Christians, we cannot, must not ever take his presence for granted. When it's time to worship, worship. If you've had a bad week, in fact, sometimes when I've had a bad week and they do a praise service, I just figure, I'm going to go dance, because I figure I'm dancing on top of Satan. That's my picture. I'm going, I'm dancing over your head. But we have got to keep our momentum. So you think, okay, I'm sitting in church, I'm doing good. Great. But how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? You can come in church every Sunday, but if you do not have a private relationship, it's not going to keep you from falling. And I'm glad you're here. Please come. Please, please, because you need to be in the presence. But begin to interact when the Spirit moves. Begin to interact and move with him. Now, so what about our spiritual momentum? Let's go there. Once we've said yes to Jesus, and you're getting to know him more, and we're living according to his word, and we're growing in intimacy with him, and we're developing an active prayer life, and we're serving others. I'll give a plug for outreach ministry. And you're in outreach ministry, and we're giving of our time and our money. We're tithing to the kingdom of God. Now the momentum has started, and it becomes this irresistible force to be reckoned with as long as we're moving forward. And as long as our life with Jesus is growing, we inherited such a powerful force. And Jesus is saying, please, he's up there going, please, please start creating miracles. Please join miracles, signs and wonders, please. He died for that. He raised, he's seated in heavenly places and saying, come on, walk in your authority. We're going to. Yeah, I guarantee it, we're going to. So this momentum he gave us, this inheritance, this power from Jesus is meant to push us forward. But He's not going to force it on us. You can choose to stop that momentum. That's the sad part. And if you, it's all usually about circumstances. You get some bad circumstances. We all have bad circumstances. But if that circumstance becomes so depressing, so big, then that's all you can think about. And instead of going to God, and he's still worthy of worship no matter what's going on in your life. In fact, that will lift you out of the it will lift you out of the depression. He's still worthy, whether your son or daughter is saved or unsaved, or whether you've got someone sick, he's still worthy. The best thing you can do is get down and say, Jesus, I worship you. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, you are still God and you're still on the throne. And use this for your glory. Use it for your glory. Now, why is that important? Why am I telling you this? This is the important part. We know we've inherited this from Jesus. I can see you're all like, yeah, you're really excited. But one of the reasons why God wants you to know that today, here it is. Look at this scripture, John 16:33. It says, here on this earth, you're going to have not a few, many trials and sorrows. He just puts it right out there. But take heart, because I've already overcome the world. He's not worried about this world. We're in it, but he's already overcome it. And when you think of the one that gave you your inheritance, overcome it, then why am I not overcoming it? Jesus tells us himself, he's never, ever tried to sugarcoat it. He says, there will be resistance. It's coming. It comes over and over. You should be ready for living your life for Jesus when it's not going to be easy. When you don't know why things are happening. And I found in my life that I don't know why many times until I look back on a situation and he shows me. But at the time, you're just trucking through going, Jesus, I don't like this. We don't have to like it, but I bet Jesus, when he was in the garden, he said, if it be your will, let this pass from me, because he knew he was going to suffer. But when it all settled, he said, nevertheless, your will be done. So we must maintain our momentum. It's our responsibility. Jesus would love, I know when Luke and Kate were learning, we'd push the bike, we'd get them going. Jesus will get us going, but you're going to have to maintain the momentum. You got to keep it going. You got to keep pedaling. He doesn't get on the bike and pedal for you. You still have to pedal through life. But he never abandons you. He transferred to us a power for breakthrough and a power to overcome resistance. And he's been very straightforward with us. And as Jesus was ascending into heaven and he was about to lose his disciples had him there in person. As long as he was there, they leaned into him. He was personal. But you know, as much as I would have loved to have seen Jesus in person, I think we have it better. We have him inside of us and we have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, I don't have to, like they had Jesus there in person, they had to ask him and they had to, you know, go to him. I've got him wherever I go. I think that's pretty cool, right? But I will see Jesus and I'll race you to him to be at his feet when I get there. So his parting words to his disciples were this. He said, now I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from on high. And then our favorite verse, Acts 1:8, yay, Pentecostals. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He gave us the Holy Spirit so we can maintain our momentum. It's interesting, when I was looking at momentum, momentum is really the ability to overcome resistance. We have that ability. We make a choice. Now, you can choose to go under the resistance or you can overcome the resistance. He says, listen, child, I've given you the ability to overcome. I've given you the ability to keep moving forward in spite of resistance. I have given you spiritual momentum to keep going. I have transferred my power to you. But spiritual momentum is really built up in struggles. We don't like it. But he's already told us we're going to have them. And if you don't, you're probably not being groomed for walking in the miracle signs and wonders. When you're riding a bike, you keep pedaling, and it's wonderful when you're on flat ground. You're like, hoo, 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 you know. And the best part, woo, going downhill, hair blowing back, not even cutting. Ah, yeah, whoa, this is great. So downhill's great, but guarantee you there's a hill in the future. It's just how life is. So you can, and do enjoy, I mean, enjoy praise and worship and enjoy it when life is good and all is well. But just know there is a hill coming. And that downhill slope is going to give you greater power to meet the next hill. And in fact, you don't even have to pedal for a little while. When you first hit the hill, you're like, momentum's still going. Eventually, you're going to have to pedal. But the faster you're going into that hill, the easier that hill's going to be. And so, look at this scripture in 2 Thessalonians 1:4. And he's talking to Paul is talking to the church of Thessalonica. He says, therefore, we speak of you with pride among the churches of God for your steadfastness, your unflinching endurance and patience. That sounds cool. And your firm faith in the midst of persecution and crushing. That doesn't sound good. Distress when you endure. Wow. In this scripture, Paul's congratulating that church because the truth was they were going to endure persecution. Jesus had died, gone to heaven, and the church, the baby church, even the disciples, were getting put to death for their love for following Jesus. We've never really experienced that much in America, but I think a lot of that could be a falling away time. I'm not prophesying that, but their decision to follow Jesus meant they most likely were going to experience pain, and they knew they were going to experience persecution. The moment they identified followers of Jesus, the moment they decided to follow him, they knew, I'm going to have resistance. And they could make a choice to, you know, drop out, and that's too much for me. But baby Christians kind of just are like, yeah, bring it on. But they did not slow down. In order for them to grow, they had to make the decision to pick up their momentum, and no matter what came, they've got to keep going. They've got to. Resistance grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it makes their decision, it made their momentum really pick up because they just kept pedaling. And so Paul was acknowledging to them, he was saying kind of like this, listen, church, I know you've had to go through this, but by going through this, you've now developed such a strength that you're going to be overcomers. And so Paul was congratulating them. You're officially overcomers. Bad way to have to do it. Each event that has led you to a place of frustration, each event that has led to disappointment, the next event may lead you breathless and feeling like that hit hard, or feeling like you don't have strength anymore, like you can't get up anymore. It seems like it's one thing after another, after another, after another. And if Paul were standing here today, he would be telling you, listen, I congratulate you. I mean, here we are going, I congratulate you that you are enduring, and this enduring is causing you to have strength that's going to cause you to be overcomers. And certainly we've got to be overcomers in the days that lie ahead. We're going to have to. It's going to be tried. Well, I don't know about you, but when I read that verse, I'm like, congratulations is not what I want to hear when I'm going through something hard. I'm like, yay, Kay, we're so proud of you. I'm like, I don't know the job well done. What, like he was telling them, is what I need to encourage me at a time when I'm getting beat around. But Paul knew. He knew, I know there's something coming. The only thing that's going to make it is if they learn to endure. So yes, I got to tell you about Paul. But when Paul was speaking to them, he wasn't speaking in vain, and they knew it. Paul was speaking to them from a place of experience. If you read about Paul, you know what he went through. As he's congratulating them, there's a man that's been to prison, whipped and beaten. So he knew. And as he's congratulating them, in some cases, he was in a prison cell somewhere saying, good job, church, keep going. And yet he's congratulating them. So Paul knew about endurance. He knew about resistance. So yes, it is a good thing to be congratulated, because if you stand still, it's over. Your momentum stops. And if they did, it would prevent them from fulfilling the word, the will of God. So they could, now that church there could have said, stop, no, I'm done, this is too hard, it's enough, I've had it, I don't want anything to do with God, I didn't sign up for this. They could have said that. He doesn't take away our will. They had that chance, but they decided to keep going, to keep pedaling through resistance, and to keep pushing through pressure. That's us, church. That's us. It's not going to be easy, but I'm encouraging you today in the days that lie ahead. Remember this sermon, pedal with everything in you, even if it means hard persecution. In order for them to keep building their character, they had to go through this. Now, that was the Thessalonians, but there is a really cool verse in Acts 20, 18 through 24. And we're going to read through that. In this, I'm just going to give you a rundown. In this passage, Paul's preparing. He's built this church in Asia. All these people have been very encouraging to him. He's got this little family there, and he loves there. Even though they're being persecuted, they're a great family. And he's got great support, and he's developed friendships. And when he's about, but in these verses that we're going to read here, he's about to embark on a journey that will bring him to a peace, another place of suffering. And the funny part is, Paul absolutely knows what's coming. No surprises. He knew. So Paul was going to have a, you know, we always think of how great Paul was. He had many moments of, where he had to, he could make choices. He could have. But let's read this. Listen as we read. When they arrived, Paul declared, "You know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that came to me with the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes." Aren't we glad to have pastors that don't shrink back telling us what we need to hear, even when it hurts? I have had one message for both the Jews and Gentiles alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God, and of having faith in the Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to leave and go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me there, except that the Holy Spirit tells me that in city after city, that jail time and suffering lays ahead. Oh. But here's how he ends that. He knows it's coming because God doesn't lie, and he knows God. But my life is worth nothing less unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about wonderful work of the grace of God. So look how Paul ended that. He knew. I mean, he knew suffering was coming. At that moment, when you think about that, here's Paul. God was God had already told him, oh, by the way, you're going to be suffering, just want you to know, and you're going to go to jail. He basically saying, guess what, Paul? I just want you to know you're going to leave Asia and the people that you've built such a great relationship with and you'd love to stay with, but guess what else? You're going to suffer. You're going to jail, not just once, but in city after city after city. Wow. This had to be a defining moment for Paul. Because God never takes our will, never. So Paul could have said no. He could have ended it right there and said, he could have said, done, I love being here, I'm done, God. And how many of us have been tempted to do that before? But at that point, do you realize all the momentum that he had built following Jesus, all the momentum that he had built in the Church of Asia, that he'd built up from the ground, would also cause the destruction of those people that had been part of his life. So the fall would have been a great fall. And I think all of us can think of ministries and things where it was a great fall. That's where their momentum hit a wall, and many people went with them. So church, many of you sitting here in this room, I believe it, and listening over the airwaves, you may be facing one of those defining moments. And they're never easy, but you're free to make a choice. In these moments, it would be much easier for you to turn and walk away, to give up and take the easy route, to conform yourself to the standards of this world, go make money, go get everything in order, go do that, and look big in the world, to question God's goodness and his love, to become a victim and let your hurt consume you. Or we can do what Paul did. We are just called to move forward. Here, let's go back and read verse 24, knowing what he was going to. I love this verse. He said, but my life is worth nothing unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me for Jesus Christ. Each one of us have a work that we're called to do. And he has specifically told us it's not going to be easy on this side of heaven. Rewards come on the other side. But until then, you're working, and it's going to be hard. And there's good times too. But you have a choice. You can always give up. And if that momentum stops, God's not going to, stop you from taking a free will. But what Paul is basically saying in this verse is, even though it's getting rocky ahead, even though the winds are picking up, even though the pressure's increasing, even though I'm picking up resistance, Paul considered it. He considered the whole picture. He considered the trouble that awaited him. And he considered Jesus is worth it. I won't give up. Jesus has to be worth everything in our life. He gave up everything for us. He never doubted going to the cross because he knew you were his reward. Jesus did that. So I'm going to skip the testimony part, but worship team, if you could come up for a minute. So as I have been praying, I've been going, many churches in January, they do a 21-day fast. It's like this, it's through Franklin Graham, and it's a corporate thing. As the prayer leader, it's on my radar for next year. I wanted to do it this year, and then COVID came. But I believe that's powerful. I believe that as a corporate fast. And so when you're on a fast, it's like he answers questions so vividly. He's like, so one day I'm praying, I'm down, I'm praying, and I'm feeling bad because of I've come to retirement and we're getting ready. When you come to retirement and you realize how big the retirement package, that really helps you. But as when I chose to go into, after I got out of college and educated, I worked for a year in public school, like substituting, but did not like it because kids to me need to know about Jesus Christ. So an opening came in a Christian school and I jumped in with both feet. And my dad said, you go, honey, you probably won't be rewarded much on this side of heaven as far as financially, but just go. And pastors feel this too. So I did. Now that retirement's coming, my husband is getting ready to sell his business, I'm realizing, wow, if I would have been in full-time teaching as a public school teacher, I would have IFRS, I would have great retirement, I would have medical, it would be really wonderful, but I don't have it. So I'm down before the Lord, and since Sonny's retiring right now, we're realizing we gotta get everything in order. And any of you that are retired probably know what I mean. The rest of you are like, yeah, I'm gonna be ready. But so I went before the Lord, and I actually went to my husband and said, hey, Sonny, I just want to apologize to you because now we're getting ready to retire. I don't have that great retirement package. He looked right at me. He says, your retirement package is coming. Don't worry about it. But I do feel bad about that because I do. I thought I worked hard. I mean, in fact, in private education, you work harder because you don't have the perks given to you from the state that you get, everything's paid for. But not, so anyway, I got down to pray and I really wanted to worship, but the Lord said, he said, I have something I want to show you, and then I want you never to question this again. Never. So the next morning, my phone was pinging when I got up. There was a girl that I had in first grade, probably 20 years ago, and she was writing a book. She was a Christian girl. She had married a Christian guy, but this guy was abusive. He ended up being very abusive, and she went through 4 years of literal, I'm going to say hell, because that's what it was. And so she tried to make the marriage work, but now she's on the other side of it, but she's still broken, and she's still like, I don't know if I can trust Jesus like I used to because I'm a broken. And so I got on there, and I said, Lisa, she pinged me because I was her teacher. I said, Lisa, I said, can I just tell you that what you're doing right now by writing this down and being vulnerable, you're going to help a whole lot of people. Every woman there that they hide it, this is going to be powerful. So whether you know it or not, by being vulnerable and using it, this is the glory of God. And so then she goes, hey, and I had a bird named Pete the parrot when she was in first grade. He always landed on kids' head for good handwriting. Not that you need to know that, but they really tried to do good handwriting because Pete would land on their head. Birds on the head. What do you think? So anyway, she said, have you read she would call them dark moments that, I don't remember how she worded it, but she goes, I made a list when I was in the darkest of times, 100 things in my life that brought me joy. She goes, would you go read number 67? I'm going, where is it? I didn't know how to get in it. And so she got me into it. I'm going, okay, and it's all this stuff. Well, I remember as a little girl doing this, and my mom and dad took me here. And it was time she needed to remember because she was abused and hurting. So I went down to 67, and she said, I had this teacher in first grade. And to this day, I want to be like her. I'm like, ooh, you can set your standards higher than that. But she said, she encouraged me. And she said, and I remember the bluebird landing on my head. I would do anything. And she said she was the most creative, impassioned teacher that I've ever met. And that was one of the things, going through the things she remembered. So I started crying. God reminded me. He said, now, do you want to complain some more? No, Lord. What value do you put on those kids' life that you went in the classroom every day and you got to pray with them and you got to witness to them and you won hundreds to the Lord? What value can you put on that? There's no money value. So he said to me, and sometimes he's very firm, but I know he's like a daddy saying, he stop, you know, this is not good for you. And he said, now, daughter, here's what I saw. And I shared this with Denise on Wednesday night, didn't I, Denise? I said, I saw a vision. I closed my eyes. I saw her as in a bank boat. You know those big brown boats? And they've got these handles. I don't even know if they have them anymore. But God was, I saw his hand pushing it shut, and he twisted the bank boat handles. And he said, you can't open it anymore. It's shut. And only I have the combination. And don't even try. And you know what? It has just been so joyous to know whether I have a big retirement package or whether I am God, he's more wanting to know, what are you doing for the Lord? Yes. So you, and if you have money, great, use it for the glory of God, use it. But everything in your life has value. Don't question God. You may not during the time know why you're going through it, but can I tell you, he's promised he will turn all things for good. And as I close this out, I just want to say this. How many of you today, I know there's got to be some, you, the bank vault in your life, you've went through things and you've questioned, or your past, you're going, man, I blew it there. I'm never going to be able to be a vessel used by God in greatness or whatever. God's greatness is humbleness. But how many of you have blown it, or maybe you're struggling and you need to, God needs to take you to a place, shut that bank bolt, and twist the handle and say, daughter, son, it's done. Don't go back there. Because that is slowing you down. And the enemy knows exactly where to trigger you. He knows exactly where he can find your lowest point and take you there. But now when I try to go there, all I can see is the bank bolt. God's saying, I see that bank bolt. I'm going, hallelujah, I don't need a retirement. I'm good. I'm perfectly good. And my husband's okay with it, so we're going to be okay. But it does worry you. But church, one more thing I need to tell you as a church. The Bible says that in the end times, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says there will be perilous times that lie ahead just before Jesus comes back. Do you know what perilous means? Not going to like it. Dangerous, hazardous, risky, bringing or involving the chance of loss or injury. Yay, perilous times. Hallelujah. No. I don't remember anything, thinking back on coronavirus, and I've been a, what is it, 52 years, I'll just say I'm 52 about, and honestly, I have never seen anything that compares to this coronavirus epidemic. I don't know, maybe some of you have, but I haven't. And I have been amazed during coronavirus, the personality of people came out. Some people that I thought, oh man, they're probably like standing up, they were cowering in fear. Now, I have a respect for it because I've lost good friends to it and I miss them. But God orders my steps. So if I get coronavirus, I'll get it. And if he wants to take me home, you guys just come and rejoice with me at my celebration funeral because I want it to be celebrating. But here's the deal. I read this quote and it said, as followers of Jesus, we are going to have to learn how to stay warm in a spiritually cold world. And if we lose our heat, there's nothing else heating the cold world. And the world's getting colder and colder and colder. I've never seen the government so one-sided. Sorry, government, but that's my feelings. And I honestly believe that if we don't have faith in God, if you didn't handle coronavirus, that is just the footman. The horses are going to be really, really tough. If there are perilous times that lie ahead, then you'd better get on your spiritual bike. This is not the time to be missing church, to be just going through life and ignoring God. This is the time. Get on your bike, pedal as hard as you can, because you're building momentum for that last huge big hill. It's going to be huge. I think anything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And unless you have a firm relationship with Jesus Christ, unless you know my God is, and he told us we'll have troubles, but if that's not sure in your heart, you're going to be slowly going down the hill, enjoying the air, blowing your hair, having a good time. The hill's going to come and your bike's going to, oh, oops. So it's coming, and it's coming soon. I believe what God is saying to the church, the finest hill, the final hill is the biggest one that the church is going to ever encounter. But I'm not leaving you there. It's also going to be the most fruitful one.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are in a place in history that it's epic. It is epic. And that's why I think God wanted me to get up here. This is an epic time. And if there's going to be a great falling away, don't you be part of it. Get on your spiritual bike. And I'm telling you, get in an intimacy with Jesus. Meet with him every day. Learn to know him. Pedal like crazy. Begin to tell everyone you see about Jesus. Begin to take risks. Now, you can lay hands on someone and pray for their healing. Maybe they don't get healed, but God likes it that you did that. It's like, cool. I love that. And he said, just keep doing it. That's what my son or daughter does, because you know is you're capable of that through Jesus Christ. And so in the last big hill that's coming, I want to be a daughter of God who's on her bike, who's prepared and ready to go, and my bike's not going to fall over. And the next hill, the good part is, when you get for the next hill, I believe the top is heaven. So hey, that's a good place to end, isn't it? And Jesus is coming back. So that is what God downloaded to me. I believe somebody needed to hear it. But as we are closing out, if you are thinking, man, I've slowed down. I really need to get back on the bike. Or you're in fear. If coronavirus is still causing you fear, if you are thinking, oh, what's going to happen? Look what's happened. Russia's at the border of Ukraine, and we know that's in the end time, and this is probably not good, and next thing, you know, this is, it could put fear in you. Fear and faith do not cohabitate. Put fear. My God is bigger. My God is bigger. And I'm going to heaven. So what's the worst thing that can happen? I could die. Thank you. I'm in heaven. I mean, Jesus took away the sting of death, hell, and the grave. If you still are holding the sting of death and saying, oh, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I'd like to, I love my grandkids. I love my family. But if Jesus chooses to take me home, good, I'll go. I'm good. Don't worry about me. I'm good. But here's the deal. As long as we're on this earth, if we are not pedaling, if we're enjoying life and we're saying, God, just bless me, bless me, bless me, we're here not for blessings. We're here to work for our Master, for our Lord. We're here to use our life for His glory. And if blessings come, so be it. But if they don't come and you're struggling, God is able and He will keep you. So as we close out today, I'm going to pray. And, you know, just take time in your seat or wherever you are. I went with my wah, wah, wah before the Lord, and He just had to show me, that's got to stop, Kay. I mean, you're doing a sermon on peddling, you're putting it together. Every time you do that, you stop peddling because you go back and say, I blew it. Oh, and God said, stop. And so He's not always going to do that. He just knew, He closed the bankbook, and I'll probably, every time I go there, I'm going to see that. But I want you today, as a people of God, if you are still questioning God on some things that have happened in your life, it's time to let the Holy Spirit slam it shut, push the bankbook around, and you don't have the accommodation. And the next time you want to go there and say, this is bad, I can't be used in ministry now, or I hate that person, what they did to me. Well, yes, you can be angry at them, but God loves them, just saying. And you could maybe want to win them to the Lord. But here's the deal, today, let's shut the door on our offenses, unforgiveness, and anger. Today's the day. Because I got to tell you, if you're watching the news, I don't think we have much time before things are going to be shaken really hard. And we're going to need to untether ourselves from a lot of things. So as I pray today, then we'll close in a song. Would you just take time to sincerely go before the Lord and just let Him close the door? Father God, thank You so much that You are Lord, You are Master. Thank You that the Creator of the universe loves us so much that He died, and He didn't just die, He gave us His inheritance and said, here, it's yours, use it. And Lord, I believe days that lie ahead, they're going to be tough. You told us, just like You told told Paul, you're going to go to jail, all this is going to happen. You're telling the church, this is going to happen, perilous times. You've been a great God, but You haven't left us comfortless. Help us, Father, to let go of any weights that we have today, anything that we're allowing to put us in shame, guilt, anger. It's time to let them go, because we're going to miss that next hill, and it's the big one, Lord. So today, just do Your work in this house. Do a work, and may we leave here knowing You've shut the door. I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to pedal as hard as I can, because that next hill, I plan on making it over. In the name of Jesus, we thank You. Amen.